Hello, everyone, and welcome to Knowledge is Power, your weekly recap of obscure and not-so-obscure news from around the internets and beyond.
From Chicago, I'm Eric Munn.
And from New York, I'm Greg Rutter. How you doing this week, Eric?
I am great. The weather is getting gorgeous, finally, out here in Chicago. How is it over there?
The weather's been great. I just got back from Miami.
That's right.
I was out on business, and it was really good. I have the worst sunburn of my entire life.
Oh.
The worst part is, like, this is how pale I am. I was out in the sun for approximately an hour.
With a sweater on.
yeah, and it's my. So I was like, I want to get some sun, and my body's like, no, let's not. Can we not do this? Okay, no.
Wow.
So I'm in a lot of pain, and so I'm coming back, and I lost my bags. I'm all upset. So that was I just got a call a little bit ago about that they'd be dropping my bags off sometime between 10 and 1 a.m.
Well, that's nice.
Thank you, airline.
Thanks, Miami.
from your friends in Miami. All right. First story. You start it off.
All right. Well, my first story. What's big out here in Chicago, and I think is probably pretty big for the rest of the U.S. is Lollapalooza. It was just announced, you know, who most of the bands are, who's all coming, where it's going to be at, so forth, and it's pretty big out here. I myself am on the fence, and I wanted to see what you thought. I mean, I looked up online today, and tickets are $130.
Now, what?
Covers all 3 days. Yeah, covers all 3 days of the event. But really, I mean, I'm looking at the list of people, and you've got Kanye West, Common, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Pavement, I think Radiohead was on there, I'm not sure. I mean, overall, no one that amazing. And honestly, the only reason I'm on the fence is because there's some really cool small groups like Blackalicious and Scissor Sisters and things like that that, I mean, I'm a fan of. But am I willing to pay $130? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. Like, that's a lot of money. It's funny that they're like, what is it? Is Jane's Addiction still on that?
That's what's weird. Like, he's the dude. He's the guy that started it all, but they're not even on the list this year.
Really? That's so
funny. Yeah.
Like, I was going to say, like, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Radiohead, Pavement, like, aren't those the groups that, like, originally toured, like, back when it was started in the 90s? And then they're like, let's add some hip-hop, too. Like, let's add some hip-hop groups also. Like, that'll get what...
Let's add some salsa and some merengue.
Aren't the kids into salsa these days?
I don't know. And last year, the event fell on the hottest weekend in Chicago time-wise, and it was the hottest recorded in history, you know, which, I don't know. I don't know if I trust the Farmer's Almanac from 1820, but... either way, you know, it makes me nervous to go these things because, you know, you're never allowed to bring your own water. You got to pay $20 for each bottle, it seems like. I don't know.
It's the way it always is. It always falls on, like, the hottest day of the year, and you're like, I like this music's cool, but I'm dying.
Yeah. So that's number one story around here right now. It's on a lot of people's, you know, agendas, and a lot of my friends I know have either already bought tickets or thinking about getting them. I'm still on the loop. I'm still on the fence, and the worst part about it is as it gets closer, the tickets go up.
Yeah.
So I feel like I need to jump in now. Or
is it actually in Chicago?
Yeah, it's in Grant Park. So it covers. It's all along the lake shore there, and you see the city view, and it's right by that Buckingham Married with Children fountain. So it's really, you know, if to go only for that, you know, but
yeah.
it's, I don't know, I still want to see what other people think about it. I don't even think my roommate's going, so I don't know.
For me, like, I'm not a big concert guy, so to pay, like, that much money for like, you know, going to a concert for, like, one day is kind of, like, an exhausting thing.
Yeah.
But to go for 3 days, that's a bit much for me.
Well, yeah, even to go to a concert for a night, like when I would go see a rock concert, you know, from like 10 to 2, I'm pretty done after that.
Thanks a lot.
To go from 9 to 9, you know, that's crazy.
It's don't know. It's too much. It's too much for me.
It's very Brazilian.
It's very Brazilian. Do you think like these you know huge concerts like, you know, oh we're gonna give you 2 weeks of entertainment right in your hometown for only $600. Like, do you think those are economically viable anymore?
I have no idea. I mean, I found out there's like three big ones. There's Lollapalooza, Bonnaroo, and some Rolling Rock one. I don't know. But yeah, dude, I don't know. I feel that the amount of people going, it must be economical. Like, I feel for $130 a pop, and you know, I'm sure that a lot of these bands, I don't know, they're either well off already, so they're probably not charging a lot to do it,
mm-hmm.
or you know, they're small enough that they're like, yeah, let's just do this, and they're willing to take whatever the concert pays them. So I feel that they're probably making a good amount of money, especially if they're sponsored. I don't think Lollapalooza is, but that Bonnaroo is, and so is the Rolling Rock one. That I'm sure they make enough.
It's too much of an ordeal for me, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Woodstock didn't last for long.
Thank
so
God.
We'll see.
Those dirty hippies. That's what's bringing down all these concerts, Eric. These dirty hippies.
I know.
All right.
God.
All right, next story. All right, this is my story. I want to talk the spat between Jessica Alba and Playboy.
And Huey.
Huey Lewis and the News.
No, not Huey Lewis.
Hugh Hefner. No. this is I've loved this story from the beginning. Basically, Playboy put Jessica Alba on the cover of one of their magazines.
Which I remember when I saw it, I thought, "What? This is amazing!" Because you know, I don't think she's been naked in any movies, right?
Exactly.
I'm just like, "Wow, shocker!"
And basically, all it was just like a short little interview about trying to plug her into the blue or whatever shitty movie she was in.
Okay.
And she was super pissed off, and was like, "This is bullshit! You know, you guys." This is, you know, total invasion of my privacy. I can't believe you do this because now everyone thinks I'm this big whore. And she sued him. She sued him for, like, all kinds of money. And then Hugh Hefner this week, like, comes out and is like, I'm really sorry about this. Come to daddy. Come love me.
come let daddy console you.
And she totally falls for it. She dropped a lawsuit.
This makes me think Hugh is such a pimp.
I don't know how he does it. It's his birthday.
I mean,
say by the way, it's his birthday.
This man is probably 40% metal. Like, I'm sure a lot of bones have broken in his body or have needed to be replaced. And, you know, he still is getting the women like it's, you know, free food falling from the sky. I don't know. I can't think of a metaphor.
I don't know how
he
does
it.
I
can't.
I can't get over it. It's like, it seemed so easy and quick. Like, I'm sure there was a lot of, like, shady backroom deals and, you know, like, lawyers talking and yelling at each other. But it seemed, like, so suddenly, like, oh, it's okay. I called her up and talked to her, and it's better now, baby.
It's over.
Yeah. Come on over. Let's go hang out in the grotto.
And thing that I actually made me more interested in this story as, you know, I learned more about it was, now Playboy can pretty much put anyone that America, you know, like the girl from the Blade movies, and she was on that show about Seventh Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
She's like considered one of the hottest people out right now. Hugh puts her on the cover. She gets pissed. He talks to her. Everything's cool. You know.
Yeah.
Like,
sells a ton of magazines.
He's gonna sell a lot more now. It's gonna be good.
Do you think? Look, a lot of people have been saying for a long time that Playboy's on its way out. You know, it's a dying magazine. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it is weird. I guess, you know, I don't have a subscription, and I don't know anyone else who really.
Not anymore, anyway.
But, I mean, yeah. I mean, especially with, you know, we can go a little crude here for a second. Especially with porn pretty much available anywhere online. Like, you can be doing a science experiment on Tyrannosaurus Rex, and for some reason, porn comes up if you Google it. You know,
woman having sex with a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
And you know, so
actually
I'm really
has 45 hits.
That these magazines in general still are around, you know. So, but I guess, you know, he must have enough of a fan base. I mean, you've got a lot of the older people, you know, that are huge play. Like, their grandpa had the collection, and they passed it on to their dad in this weird, erotic way that right. I don't get. I feel I would never want to look at the porn my dad looked at. But, you know, I think he's got enough of those people. And the idea of him in general, I mean, I still, myself, would think it would be great to go to the Playboy Mansion, which, by the way, my dad has done. I couldn't what? Believe it. He told me this, like, I was 19, you know, in college, and I go back home for something, and we're cleaning the basement, and we come across these pictures. And my dad has no porn. I mean, I remember when I was 17 looking through the house like a detective, not this done anywhere. My dad's this clean guy. And all of a sudden, there's this picture of him and Hugh shaking hands. And my dad used to be a diver for Michigan, and I guess the diving team got invited, and there he is, shaking Hugh's hand on the lawn. I thought, wow, my dad's a pimp.
He is a pimp. That is cool.
Yeah.
I wish my dad went to the Playboy Mansion.
My dad only went to the Swank Hotel.
My dad only met the... My dad only met the president. Worst father ever.
All right. Yeah. Next. All right, well, my next story, I don't know if it's so much as a story. I'm just amazed by this. Hogzilla.
Yes.
Now, this
Love
thing,
it. Love it. Best story ever.
This is the type of thing that keeps me up at night. Because, you know, you and I are from small towns.
Right.
And we're like, oh, there's things outside. We don't really ever see them, but, you know, you think they're there. And this just made me believe everything that I've ever been scared of is real now.
Because,
I mean, this
awesome.
Guy, and I first, so the story is this guy okay. goes out to check on his, I'm not sure, like tree stand or whatever hunters call him. It's like his little tree fort. And so he's going to go check on that to make sure the deer, you know, don't spot it. And he's up there, and he hears this sound, and he looks over, and he says he sees this ginormous pig, hog, whatever. And of course, rather than calling wildlife preserves, you know, anyone,
the Navy,
forest ranger,
Army.
He shoots it.
Yeah.
You know, like the American way, what is that? Shoot it. And there's a photo of this thing. I mean, it's gotta be. I think it said it weighed 1,000 pounds, and it looked the size of an SUV. I mean, it was insane.
It's huge. Like, and if you go to the website, like, you can see. I'm looking at it now. It's almost 1.5 times the size of this guy.
Wow.
It's almost twice the size of, you know, a full grown man. It's hanging by its feet. It's just. So I read this huge article in, I think the New Yorker, like, over Christmas break, about a guy who was just sort of, like, fascinated with the American, like, hogs. And,
okay.
And they live for a long, long time, and they're very secretive animals. Like, you don't come across them very often.
They're like George Clooney.
Exactly.
They don't like the paparazzi.
They're very secretive. And they have a lot of publicist friends. It was a lot about this Hogzilla thing. Is it an urban myth? Does it actually exist? And what he found is that basically, like, no one believed this guy that shot that picture. Everyone thought it was a...
Well, yeah, because didn't he bury it right after he shot it?
That's what he said. So they...
Because he did the one thing that I myself can't believe. You know, He said he didn't want to eat it because the meat is tainted. Like, to me, I would feel like that would be like eating the flesh of a god. I mean, like, you just destroyed this giant beast that's been hiding in the forest.
Are you eating Pan, the flute god? He's delicious. But so he buried it, and no one believed him. Everyone thought it was like a you know photography trick. And so he took him back to where he buried it, and they found the skeleton. They found this enormous skeleton.
That's awesome.
And I don't understand why that's not, like, around the country going, like, warning little, like, they should have the skeleton, like, on its truck bed to, like, scare the shit out of little kids.
Traveling around. Poor people of the woods.
This is, you build a house, motherfuckers, okay?
This is why we have houses, doors, and locks. It's not because of criminals, it's because Hogzilla will come and eat your family. Only your babies, though.
He'll find your family and chase them down, squealing in ecstasy. Love that. That was a great story. Love that. Okay. My story is Netflix sues Blockbuster to shut down online service.
Wow.
Awesome. This was my favorite story of the week. Basically, Netflix, I think the reason they were able to do this is because they went public. They're like a publicly traded company, and so therefore it's not like a private, I'm not sure. But basically the story is that they're suing Blockbuster because they say that they infringed on their patent for not only renting DVDs for an unlimited amount of time, but also because of like the no late fees idea. Like that was their, like, do you remember when Netflix first came out? Like all their ads were like, we don't charge late fees. Why are we with net late fees?
I didn't know how I felt about this. I mean, I had a great view of Netflix when I first learned about them, especially because, I mean, I may be wrong here, but I feel they're based out of Michigan. But I was really like, this is it. This is the future of renting. This is the future of DVDs. I was all about it. And then I heard about how they were labeling customers. That there's people that, you know, are obviously going to pimp the system. They know that, you know, I'll rent three movies, watch them really quickly. They might even burn a copy. I don't even know. You know, but they go through them quickly, send them back in, get three more. And for the amount of movies they're getting, for the amount they're paying per month, they're really ahead of the curve. Well, I heard Netflix was labeling them as, you know, active users, and thus postponing their shipments.
Hmm.
So they'd get the DVDs later, so they couldn't pimp the system.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll put that on next week's show. But yeah, you know, so that's when I got like a little, you know, angry at Netflix and.
But you know, I was so proud of them for like taking on this, you know, this
giant.
Like Blockbuster.
I hate Blockbuster. Do you know how much I hate Blockbuster?
Enough that you don't want to pay $8 in late fees?
Not, you have no idea. I never understood the return by noon late fee.
Yeah.
Like to me, that seems so dated and weird. You know that, like Hollywood, even, you know, Rick's Videos, which is on, you know, two quarters from my house, let you keep it for, you know, 5 days. You know, just, I don't get Blockbuster. I don't understand them.
They're so bad, and there's.
I'm all about this on this one.
I think Netflix has the right idea, is that they're appealing, like, Blockbuster has like a totally different business model. Blockbuster is like, we have like all the new releases, you know, you want to see it and we have it. But Netflix is doing the opposite. They're like, oh, you know that totally obscure movie that no one's ever heard of? We've got it.
Remember that anime Russian movie about a talking baby?
We got it.
Yeah. We've got the uncondition.
So I don't know. I love the business model of like appealing to the long tail.
I'm all about this, especially since.
Eric, you there?
Definitely.
Eric,
I am here. Yes.
You're cutting in and out of me. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Are you playing on the internet?
No, dude. I'm calm, normal. Weird. Keeping it low key. Only got the gizmo running.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, let's do next story then.
Yes, next story for me. Not so much a story, more of a reminder of things past and to see what discussion this can lead to. On our Delicious page, which we'll get to at the end of the show, I've put a link up that has a picture of the very first Microsoft website.
Yes.
And it really amazed me. I mean, when you listeners and other people out there that see this, I mean, it's so hilariously amateur made that I can't believe, you look at it now and you would think this looks like the worst website ever made. But then it made me reminisce back to 7th grade when I first went online and, you know, was pretty much only use it to find Simpsons sound clips, you know. It was just, it was really, like, the internet was so much simpler back then. There were no such thing as pop-up ads. I mean, it was a great time. And I just wonder where, you know, as we look at what the website was then, which wasn't too long ago. I think it was about, you know, probably 12 years ago is what I think the website said, 1994. But when you look at, oh, in 12 years, I mean, there's a lot going on online now. I mean, you and I are talking online.
Exactly.
And like, Google Earth and all this stuff. I mean, what are your views? What do you think's going to happen with the internet, with technology? Not technology, that's too much of a conversation. But internet, what do you think's going to happen?
I think like all this Ajax stuff is just going to totally change the way we interact with a computer. There's four or five web desktop publishing programs, you know, that mimic Microsoft Word, and more you're just going to find stripped down computers that don't have an office suite, that don't need an office suite.
Yeah.
And I think that was what Google was trying to do when they acquired Writely a while back.
Yeah.
Which was another one of these desktop publishing programs online where you can actually save it on, you can save your files online.
Yeah.
I think like all the Ajax stuff is just going to really, it's going to be the way you may, if you remember the internet boom of the late 90s, was it, I guess, not that far off ago. Like, that was all sort of revolutionized by PHP and Java, and I think this Ajax coding is the similar thing for the Web 2.0 stuff.
I agree. What are your thoughts? Do you think internet technology, website making, so forth, is more of a secret society thing where, if you're one of those kind of people like you or I that really know computers or really know websites, we're gonna use this stuff, and the rest of America, I mean, it's still gonna stay the same? Or do you think it's getting more user friendly? Like, hey, you want to make a website? Here's some software that shows you how to do it. Hey, you want to do X, Y, and Z? Here's how you do it.
I think it's getting easier to make these, you know, very first Microsoft web style website. Like, you could do that in Front Page in 35 seconds now.
Oh yeah.
Like the longest amount of time it would take you to write physically that stuff, but the Ajax, the PHP, the, you know,
Flash,
like the Perl stuff, like that's not easy, and I think it might be getting more and more difficult. But you know, you're still able to do it, and I remember learning like HTML coding just by accident. Like, you know, I didn't have any idea what it was, and I just wanted to make something really simple, and you know, I got three codes, and I kind of built off from there.
All right, well, that's our stories for the week. If you'd like to catch up on these stories or any other items that Greg and I feel are important, you can check us out on delicious.knowledgeispower. That is del.icio.us/knowledgeispower, one word. And to look at my stories, just go to delicious.knowledgeispower/Eric, that's E-R-I-C.
And if you want to check out my stories, go to delicious.knowledgeispower/Greg.
All right, well, thank you for listening. This is Eric signing out from Chicago.
And this is Greg signing out from New York. Thanks a lot, everyone.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Knowledge is power.
Now multiply that with some creepy shit.